Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the most famous words in motorsports with your host, Lugs and the Gas Man. Ladies and gentlemen, start your podcast.
Hey folks, welcome back to another week of Wrecking and Racing. I am your host with the most, the Gas Man. Hey, you like that intro?
No.
And this is my co-host over here who's laughing at me.
Lugs!
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to this week's episode of Wrecking and Racing, episode 19.
I am glad to be back.
I'm happy to see you. No, I'm joking, man. It really is good to see you. Sokka is a great guy. He's just not you, Lugs.
Thank you.
Yeah, Sokka, you're welcome anytime, just not every time.
That could be any time, though.
Shut up. Anyway, folks, welcome back. This week's going to be a pretty fun week. We have quite a bit to talk about, and I do have a little bit of things to rub in Lug's face for not being here. Like, we got to talk to Chase Purdy.
You did. I was jealous of that.
If you have not heard the interview, it was a fantastic interview. Please go back and listen. I really have nothing negative to say. The guy, whatever you want to call him, is fantastic. Very big fan of his now.
Yeah, that was a cool podcast. I listened to it. I was out of town on business matters, but I listened to it in the airport waiting for a flight, and it was a good podcast. I enjoyed that.
Fantastic. Lugs, thanks for listening. Thanks for telling
anytime,
my friends.
Anytime.
I have told your friends,
I
right?
I tell all my friends.
Okay. And folks, we need you to do that as well. If you like us or even tolerate us, please tell your friends and your family members. Help us out. Help
please.
Us increase our presence. And that includes Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, everything. We've have a pretty decent social media following.
It's really picked up here in the last
month. Yeah, absolutely
month or so.
Has. We've increased our Twitter followers probably by 500% in the last week.
Yeah, I do have some beef to pick with you though. From last week's episode.
I guess go ahead and get it out now.
You said that the typical fall Charlotte race is more anticipated than the Roval.
Yeah, I agree.
No way.
But what was the caveat to that? This year especially, the Roval will be just because it's something new. But after this year...
I think that you're going to change your tune after this year.
I don't think so, dude.
I think it's going to be an interesting race.
Folks, what do you think?
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah, email us at wreckingracing@gmail.com. You can also contact us on our website. That's what that thing's called, wreckingandracing.com.
So you guys said that fans would be more engaged in the typical fall Charlotte race than the Roval. So,
But you know my feeling on, I mean, I haven't really hidden my feelings on road courses.
No, you have not. You have not.
As a total.
Yeah, you also didn't agree with the street courses being needed, so.
I don't know. I just can't. Those cars.
You said they don't produce good racing. Yes, they do. Look at the V8 supercars.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think they produce that great racing.
You need to watch more races then.
Do they produce a good race in Chicagoland?
Which
do they produce a good racing as, I don't know, New Hampshire this week?
Well, it all depends on your interest, I guess.
Oh, my interest isn't bumping and running and passing and not just...
It is not?
Running and, like, around and waving at people.
That is not your interest?
I said that is my interest. Stop putting words in my mouth, man. Anyway, folks, as always...
Expand that horizon, bro.
We'll see. I'm not against it. I need that little excitement factor.
And you
maybe
also,
if I went there in person, it'd be different.
You also hated on my picks, man. Hated on my picks. I got a 1-2.
I didn't hate on your picks. Each didn't choose a true dark horse.
Blaney's still kind of a dark horse. He's kind of... Until he wins in the Penske car,
I think he's a dark horse. Kind of see that. And that's why I went with Hamlin.
Yeah, you cannot say the same thing.
I only went with Hamlin because I usually wouldn't. Usually I choose a true dark horse, like a Kenseth. And not a Hamlin like you did last week. I went with Hamlin.
In his career versus, what, probably 20, 25? Yeah. You're way more of a worse offender of that than I was.
Whatever. There's no level of offending here. It's just, we both screwed up.
Let's just make sure we got it on record. I had 1-2 for that race.
You're only saying that now because my pick won this week. So you're trying to get that one up on me.
Oh, I do, because I still, their, I still beat your average.
Take the hold on. How many times have you said averages do not matter? Because every week my averages beat yours almost.
In fact, Sokka beat you this week. Even though you had the winning car, Sokka beat you.
My average was what? 6.5?
He still beat you. He got second and sixth.
Nobody cares about Sokka. He's not here right now.
It's not very nice.
We do Sokka, care about you, Sokka. Yeah, I think his Twitter thing is Sokka Arena Racing, so you guys can look him up. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah, he's really got some racing series on there. Go check it out.
And the knowledge he has, I mean, we take the knowledge that me and you both have from years of watching, and he knows quadruple that. And he remembers every detail of every race.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at that too.
Yeah, you are. I really suck at it. Yeah, I'm very much a take care of it now and forget it later. Like school is the same way. Test, I can regurgitate. Ace my test, and after that, I don't remember shit.
Yeah. You know what else you forgot?
What?
The official beer of NASCAR.
Bush. I haven't forgot. I just haven't got to that
point.
Oh,
okay.
Yet.
I thought you forgot. We just was talking like giddy little schoolgirls here. I forgot about this week.
I might drink two Bushes. A celebration of my victory. My victory. I know it's Kevin Harvick's victory. It's also my victory. We're sharing it together.
What'd you think of that finish, by the way?
Awesome. Now, I can't say the rest of the race was fantastic. There were moments that were pretty good, but I can't say all of it was like that.
Yeah. What, how do you think the
Let's back up a little bit. Fans, thank you again for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. We did have a drawing last week. I don't have the names in front of me right now. They are on our Facebook page, so please check out, see if they're a winner.
Did any of them contact you?
No one contacted me.
Why enter the contest then if you're not even going to check?
Yeah,
to see if you won?
I agree. It's not only do we read it on the air, we also post it on Facebook where the contest took place, and no one's contacted me to reach out.
Hmm. So if they don't contact us by next Wednesday, we should just have to pick some new winners, maybe.
Maybe. I'm not opposed to that. And folks, if you want like a window decal, a hat, or a shirt. Just go to our website, wreckingracing.com. We got some stuff on there. So just reach out to us. You know, we'll try to take care of you as much as we can. Mm-hmm. Just a few bucks to help us support our costs going into the show. So thank you again, fans. Excuse me, I'm burping beer here. Apologize.
Classic gas man.
Yeah, but hey, call me the gas man, right? Now, official beer NASCAR. I'm going off my notes here. Bush. Okay, we already opened it. We already drank some. Since you got off kilter here. Now, talk about New Hampshire. Great finish. Good week overall. Some interesting things going on. So, first thing I want to talk about, Logs, the Xfinity race. The only thing I really want to talk about in the Xfinity race is that we, for the first time in history, seen a driver not make it to intros with Kyle Larson a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and then Keselowski.
And then Keselowski turns around in the Xfinity race and doesn't go to the driver's meeting. What the hell is wrong with these people?
I didn't hear what the situation with Keselowski was, but I remember hearing about Larson.
What was Keselowski's starting position? Officially, before he got moved back.
I don't know.
Pole.
Was it?
He went from pole to last because of that.
And he still finished, what, second?
Second, so. Yeah, he did. And Chris Bell won. So congratulations, Chris Bell. Keselowski, you did a good job. But, man, why shoot yourself in the foot for something that easy? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe he had a sponsor engagement or something going on. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay. Now moving on to the cup race. So we go to New Hampshire. We made our picks. I look like a superstar. Kevin Harvick won.
You look like a superstar?
Yeah, I always look like a superstar.
Sokka had the better average.
So. Shut up about that. Let me have my moment of victory.
You wouldn't let me have my 1-2 finish, so I'm not going to let you have
this. You weren't here. That's your own fault.
I'm tired. Trying to take it this
Quit
week.
Your job. I'm trying Quit your job.
Take, I'm trying to take it
hey,
this
Lugs
week.
Hey, Lug's boss, whatever your name is, he's quitting now.
No. Not unless you're going to support my payroll.
Yeah, I probably already do. Like you probably have a government job or something.
No, definitely not.
Actually, I know what job you have because actually, who's the one that helped got you hired? At one time, I was Lug's boss.
Let's not go down that time. Road. And then some other things happened.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. I'm in a much better place now.
Anyways, let's get back to the racing. So, let's be honest. The big takeaway from New Hampshire is the finish. The bump and run that Harvick booted Kyle Busch out of the way.
But is that the takeaway of the race?
Yeah.
I have a takeaway to me that's just as big.
What?
Almirola.
He didn't You know, if he delivered, that would be the biggest takeaway. But he didn't deliver.
Don't you feel for the guy, though?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I like Almirola. He's a good guy. I think he's finally got a good opportunity and a good car. His time's coming. His time is coming. It's just a matter of races, honestly. I think he'll get a victory by the end of the year.
Yeah, I sure hope so. I don't necessarily hope so. I'm almost willing to guarantee
it. I'll put it this way. He's gonna get a victory before Kurt Busch does.
Oh, no.
How can you argue that?
Because I got Kurt on my picks for next week.
Okay, well, in that case, wait till we get that there. That case, you can argue. Now I know who your pick is.
One of them.
Well, see, that's definitely not a dark horse, so.
It is a dark horse. No. When's the last time Kurt Busch won a race?
I don't know.
Exactly.
He's got lots of wins.
Back in the day.
And he drives for a top series. Top race team.
Well, so does Daniel Suarez. So does William Byron.
No wins,
but they drive for a top team.
So, they're all top teams if you want to get technical about it.
No. Kurt Busch is a true dark horse because he's
has
not
a championship.
And that's years ago. That's like saying Richard Petty's coming out of retirement and him not being a dark horse to win because
he'd kick everybody's ass.
Okay.
Especially if Dale Sr. came back.
Are we getting this shit started again? Really?
Sorry, it's just been pent up in me because I missed last week. So you don't think the takeaway was the finish? You think
I do? I said another takeaway.
Okay.
Another takeaway.
Oh yeah, it's another takeaway for sure, but not
a big
not,
takeaway.
Not
I think it's
takeaway.
Almost there with that with the finish.
But I am so excited because I think this is the breeding grounds. This is started a new rivalry
between
Harvick.
I think so.
And I think it's, you know, Harvick came out and said the day after that they have a respectful rivalry. I don't know how long it's going to remain respectful. If they keep running the way that they are and they're constantly battling each other for these wins, eventually something's going to boil over.
It'll have to. There's only so much room in the pot.
They both have those type A personalities and they'll do anything to win. So it's just a matter of time before one of them slips up and does something that is just going to derail that relationship.
I have a feeling that's going to be Kyle. And Kevin taking advantage of that.
Yeah. Well, what do you think of the move that happened? Fair game?
Oh, absolutely. Here's the, to me, it's not, I don't understand the big deal with it because it's just that wasn't much of a hit at all. It was just moving him out of the groove.
Let's be honest. There was no issue there.
Not even close.
Because Harvick moved Kyle. Now, if Kyle had moved Harvick, would we be having the same conversation? Because I'm going to say probably not. Most fans would
No. I disagree. I think it's only an issue for people to talk about because Kyle wasn't involved. That's a normal move that's made 20 times in a race that you don't even see on TV.
You may not see, right.
It's just a typical, especially at New Hampshire or a track like that.
It is.
So to me, it was nothing out of the ordinary.
But I think that if Kyle had made that move on Harvick and went on to win, he would be just getting slammed, labeled as a dirty racer, this, that, and the other because of what he did to Larson and then had he done that to Harvick.
Yeah, and okay, I see where you're going with that, and I agree to the extent that
you know
how
rabid this fan base is.
Oh, yeah, I know. There's so many fans that's quick to jump on Kyle because it's Kyle. He could literally, you know, say nice words to a homeless person, all of a sudden people are turning that against
him. He'll get chastised for it.
Yeah, so yes, you are right that people will be all over him about it. However, the true NASCAR person that's been following the sport forever understands
that's
part of it.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. I just wanted to pick your brain, see what you thought about if the roles were reversed. You know me, I like speculation.
Yeah, and it's not like Harvick really hit him that hard. I mean, literally just moved him out of the way.
He moved him just enough to get out of that you know, cushion, basically, where they had the PJ1 or whatever it is. And I mean, he did honestly textbook, man. He put enough distance between him and Kyle to where he wasn't going to get back to him unless the caution came out. I mean, he pretty much nailed it.
Absolutely. He had to do what he had to do to win. That's part of the sport. That is what makes this sport fun, entertaining, great. That's what we love. And if you're a Kyle Busch hater, and I'll kind of lump myself into that to an extent.
No bias.
I know. You still have to look at that at the roles reversed and respect it for what it is. Yeah. That's NASCAR. That's what we watch this for.
Yeah. But if you remember, Kyle did the exact same thing to Harvick at Pocono last year. Moved him out of the groove. Didn't wreck him, moved him out of the groove, and then he went on to win one of the Poconos last year. So it's not the first time that they've had that similar situation come up like that.
It's not going to be the last two. They're racing each other constantly.
Yeah.
You know, the big three, especially, as everybody's calling it. So which they are.
Speaking of which, that leads us to a certain poll I think you had on Facebook.
So after that, I did put a poll on Facebook of who do people think is going to win the championship, Harvick or Busch? 89% said Harvick. Mm-hmm. 11% said Busch. Mm-hmm. Now, I do truly think, you know, obviously there is a bias against Busch.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's so that's a little skewed bias a little bit, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Because I'll be honest with you, my pick, if you remember what our very first episode, I picked Kyle to win the championship at Homestead. But I voted Harvick in that poll.
Yeah, okay, exactly. Who did I pick to win the championship?
Harvick.
Harvick. So that's really funny. It's come down to this.
Yeah. Yeah. And all I can say is if they both make it through to Homestead, which I have no doubt that they...
There's no signs of slowing down.
Yeah, that we're in for a hell of a showdown at Homestead.
Man, I could almost see three Stewart Haas cars and Busch in the championship round because Stewart Haas cars have not shown any momentum of slowing down. Busch ran very competitively.
Truex?
I am not... The team is going... The Truex's team is actually going through a transition period right now, so we actually kind of need to talk about that. So for the fans who don't know, we did, I think, briefly discuss this last week.
I feel like that was an intervention right there. We need to talk.
Maybe it is, okay? Yeah, you drink too much, Lugs. Coming from a guy who's probably going to have more beer than you tonight. But...
Exactly.
So what I'm getting to is that the primary sponsor for Martin Truex is pulling out of racing.
Right, I heard you guys mention that last week.
Right, after this season.
Mm-hmm.
So there's actually an interview where Truex is talking about that, where he's not worried, but he is a little worried because it kind of leaves his future with the team up for debate. Also leaves the status of the team up for debate and on what the future holds, because he was hoping, there was rumors and kind of a discussion about 5-Hour Energy doing this amongst the team, but they waited as late as they did to make the decision. So that really puts a hindrance on Barney Vassar to find a replacement sponsor to cover for next year. So there's a lot of unknowns, a lot of, I don't want to say turmoil. It's not turmoil, but a lot of uncertainty amongst the team. And that, even say that that's not going to play a role on me, it kind of does.
Yeah. And here's my thought process is they'll find sponsors. Maybe they won't be willing to shell out as much money as 5-Hour did, but they're going to find sponsors to put on the car. Maybe it's not to the tune of millions and millions and trillions of dollars that, you know, 5-Hour
will piece it together.
Out. But if Bubba Wallace and RPM...
Ricky Stenhouse?
Yeah, if they can put together race-by-race sponsors, Truex has nothing to worry about.
Okay, so except for another detail we have to bring into the conversation. Do they stay with Joe Gibbs Racing?
Who, Furniture Row?
Yes.
I don't see why they wouldn't, unless it's money-related. I don't know what the financial deal is.
With the whole rumors of Levine coming in to Joe Gibbs, what if
they merge Levine and
Which they
Furniture
might do
Row?
That. Which they might do that. I mean, there's so much that we don't know behind the scenes that they're talking about.
And this actually kind of loops back to something, or loops forward to something I was going to bring up later. But let's talk about, since you just brought him up, Christopher Bell. He signed with Toyota and signed with Joe Gibbs. He's confirmed for Xfinity next year in 2019. But the way he's running, you know, logistically.
The rumor is that he was going to be Levine's driver next
logistically,
year.
Logistically.
Levine, how you pronounce it.
Performance-wise, he could move up the Cup next year,
yes,
I think.
Yes.
You know, they made the move with Suarez and Jones as early as they did. They can move it up as they like that with Bell. So, you know, but that's beside the fact he's going to Xfinity next year. So if they did move him up to Cup in 2020, where are they going to put him?
And the Levain family
racing. Exactly. That would be a perfect opportunity.
Yeah, it will. And I agree with you. It just... don't know what happens until it happens.
But it's kind of the same situation with Jones, though. Same situation with Jones. Move him in there for a year. Someone vacates at Gibbs, and then he slides into a prime Gibbs spot.
Okay, so who's going to vacate Gibbs? That starts another whole conversation.
Soares.
Think so? I thought he was kind of their future. Him and Jones were kind of the future.
Are they? Well, we know Bush isn't leaving.
You wouldn't think so. Unless he does another stupid thing and, you know, the sponsor threatened to pull, you know, for him saying something or doing something stupid. Hamlin's getting older, but he's not old enough to retire. Mm-mm. No, that's a lot of good questions, a lot of thoughts. And fans, always feel free to reach out to us, have these conversations with us. We'll put them online. You know,
give us your foresight. What's the garage going to look like for Furniture Row and Gibbs in 2020? Let us know what your picks are. Who's going to occupy those rights?
Yeah. So talk about New Hampshire Lugs. What surprises did you have for New Hampshire, or did you see?
Chase Elliott won a stage, man.
Yeah, so one of my notes I have here is Chevy's actually looked more competitive than they had all season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so top finishing Chevy was actually Chase in fifth.
Yeah.
Newman sixth. And Johnson 10th. So three in the top 10. That's probably the most competitive.
That's what I'm saying. The most Pocono. Competitive. And just, I mean, besides, you know, 8, 9, 10 or mm-hmm, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, Chase finished fifth. And again, we don't have a Chevy bias. We tried not to, but it's nice to see that they're actually maybe edging closer to being competitive and making this a three manufacturer series instead of just a two.
Yeah. And it's not so much that I have a problem with the big three, Harvick and Busch and Truex seemingly winning every week, but I'd like to see other teams get up there. I don't care if it's Penske. I don't care if it's Hendrick. I don't care if it's whoever else.
So you bring up a good point. We're talking about the big three dominating, and fans are getting turned off with that. But in the history of the sport, isn't that kind of what we've seen? I mean, Jeff Gordon was unstoppable. The King was unstoppable. Jimmy Johnson won, you know, five championships in a row.
I don't ever remember three cars dominating the sport like this.
Maybe not three, but I remember one car running away with it.
Maybe
two, but yeah, you're right. So maybe this is more diverse than what we actually are used to, especially when we were younger.
I think that NASCAR just wants so many drivers to fill the chase, and it's not happening.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's kind of painted us into a corner a little bit.
Very well, possibly. So, not really New Hampshire related. It's kind of Chevy related, so I want to bring this up. I read a story today about BK Racing.
Yeah, I heard someone put a bid on it.
Yeah, so I think he's like the director of operations. I can't remember his name now. I didn't write it down. Put a bid in for like $1.8 million.
It was like a...
It includes a charter.
It was an old crew chief.
Yeah. Yes. So he would actually be affiliated with GMS. So if you don't know what GMS is, folks, they are a Xfinity and Truck Series team. And you might remember them more as the team that Spencer Gallagher drove for. Partied like his 1999 and, you know, got kicked out for a little bit. But it's actually his dad's company, Spencer Gallagher's dad's company, Allegiant Airlines owner.
Mm-hmm. Man, do you need to go take like a gas X or something?
I don't
something?
Know. I can't even breathe without bubbles coming out.
I know you're the gas man, but geez.
Yeah, sorry about that, folks. So anyway, you might know GMS from that. So this team, the guy, if his bid goes through, he'll actually look into taking this team to Cup, and GMS would actually have a presence in Cup Series with Chevy.
Interesting.
Yeah, so just kind of throw that in there. What else do you have from New Hampshire?
Not a whole lot other than there was an I got to bring this up, right? It's my handle. Lugnut Infraction, William Byron's team. We're missing a lug nut post-race, so that earns Darian Grubb a $10,000 fine.
Yeah, not too big of a deal.
But that was the only fine in the Cup Series.
Yeah. I think overall, I actually enjoyed the race overall. There was some people that were pretty competitive, like Eric was competitive, Kurt Busch was competitive. I mean, all of Stuart Haas pretty much was. Yeah. Clint had some issues. He finished way back there. He finished in 35th.
Yeah, it really wasn't just an all-out domination like we have been seeing. So that was kind of refreshing.
True.
Honestly, I'm just happy that they got the whole race in. The way the day started, I didn't think that they would. I didn't know if they'd get it started, and then once they started, I didn't think they would get it finished.
True.
They did.
True. I do actually want to call out Sokka for talking about some last week. He talked about this track really caters to Newman's style, and they do finish sixth. When's the last time Newman's finished sixth?
I don't know.
So, Sokka, good job calling that one out. You look almost like a genius.
But we know the truth.
Remember, Luck said that, not me. Moving on, our picks did pretty well overall, I think. At least me and Sokka.
I did the worst, yes. But just don't forget the week before I had a 1-2 finish.
Nobody cares about the past. Talk about now. talk about now. Next week is what racetrack?
Pocono.
Yeah, very, to me, it won the better tracks.
Our second visit there.
Yeah, I really like Pocono. Before we go to Pocono, one last note I do have about New Hampshire is TV ratings.
Yeah.
It is down from a 195 to a 153, which translates 3.2 million viewers down to 2.5 million viewers.
Yeah, but who wants to sit around all day and wait to see if they're going to go racing? I feel like that the weather pushing it back, like what it was, 4 or 5 hours before they finally got it going? Well, I don't think it was 5 hours, but 3 or 4 hours before they finally got it started. I mean, I'm sure that's going to have something to do with the ratings a little bit.
Well, it just... I'm actually surprised.
You had an issue with Sling. I mean, look at that.
Yeah, no, very true. Yeah, and I cut the cable a long time ago, so I do all online TV viewing.
Mm-hmm.
So I had Sling, and yet because the race ran over its period, they cut it off, so I couldn't watch the end of the race. Mm-hmm. You know, live, I had to watch recaps. Kind of shitty,
yeah.
But
so I mean, that's got to play into it.
And this whole, you know, it's nothing new. This whole season, we've seen the attendance and the viewership's been down. I honestly, I'm surprised it's as high as it is. I expect it to be even worse with the rain delay, et cetera.
Yeah, I did too, actually. So
I'll take that as a win, actually. You know, they dropped. I still take it as a win.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about Eldora?
Sure. Eldora, you know, they ran it like an hour after our last episode.
Yeah.
When we talked to Chase, his teammate actually ran in Eldora.
Yeah.
Sheldon Creed.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Did you get to watch it?
Yeah, I did. Actually, I mean, I love Eldora. It's so fun to watch.
Yeah,
I mean, they literally look like they're moving in slow motion.
Yeah. But you know that's got to be so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
In those trucks.
So, talking about Eldora, congratulations to Chase Briscoe for winning it, by the way.
Close finish.
Yeah, oh, absolutely close. Was it, what's the guy's name? Effinger? Or
Tyler, yeah.
Yeah, finished second. But anyway, yeah, fantastic racing, but...
That brought up some headlines this week.
About cup racing, yep. Xfinity racing. Yep. Tony Stewart made a comment that, you know, pressure NASCAR into getting a race. And then Brian France, did you see this?
I did.
Okay.
I got it saved, yep.
Brian France basically come out and said, well, Tony's doing a great job over there, but it ain't happening anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, that whole interview that Brian France did, I hate the guy. I am not a Brian France fan at all. He sounds like a douche.
What does that sound like exactly?
Look at Brian France.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah, so pushback on that for sure. I could see Xfinity doing it, man, but logistically, Cup.
30,000 seats. Yeah, it's just,
you got to make some big changes, but I just don't know that everybody's on board. I know a lot of people
Kyle
are.
Larson's not. He
Kyle
made
Larson's
a comment.
Not.
He's not. Yeah.
Your favorite driver, Richard Petty, this week said that he's not on board for it either.
Dale Jr. is, though.
Nobody said your favorite driver, Richard Petty, or Kyle Petty. Could be both. I know you're a big Petty fan. They said that... Hold on. Let me see. I've got the exact quote here. Said, no, going to dirt would be like the Panthers playing in a high school stadium. It doesn't work. We're way beyond that deal from a professional standpoint. I don't even see it being feasible at all. That was Richard Petty.
Sound like Brian France.
But, I mean,
same sentiment.
Smoke, on the other hand, Stewart said, you know, it doesn't cost anything. It doesn't cost anything to turn these cars into a dirt car. But everyone's just saying Goodyear needs to bring a better tire.
Yeah. I mean, they have to pay for tires anyway, so that cost is minimal.
Mm-hmm.
So why not do something like this? Why not turn it into like an all-star event, exhibition event?
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Maybe not a points
issue. But still exciting to watch.
Yeah, I like that. Take the all-star race there.
Yeah.
Ditch Charlotte. We don't need to go to
something different, something that doesn't matter for points anyway.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That would be cool. That's a good idea. Man, you should work for NASCAR,
I
guess, man.
I should. I would take Steve O'Donnell's job and Brian France's job.
Oh, both of them, huh?
Yes.
Why don't you go ahead and tweet them right now?
I might do that. Brent Dewar, too, I'm at.
Hey, Brent will actually respond to you.
Occasionally. It's been a while since I talked to my good buddy, Brent.
So, but yeah, so kind of a mixed reaction there. Most people would be forcing Xfinity and Cup cars on the dirt. I would like to see it, for sure.
I would like to see it at least once, just to see how it goes. And like I said, if it's an exhibition, so be it. Remember when NASCAR traveled to Japan?
Yeah, I do, actually.
So why not try stuff like that?
Yeah, exactly.
That's your grassroots environment that they're talking
about,
right?
I'm sorry, but taking however many cars went to Japan that year to Suzuka is a hell of a lot more expensive than it would be taking these cars to a dirt track in Ohio.
Right.
So don't tell me about cost whenever, it's going to be that big of a difference.
Yeah. So anything else on Eldora?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. So talking about maybe Xfinity race stuff, did you see about the two crew chiefs getting suspended?
I heard that, but I don't know who it was or what team or anything.
Yeah, it was and of course, I wrote down two crew chiefs, didn't write down who it was, and now it's skipping my mind. But essentially, two crew chiefs had infractions for an L1 penalty for vehicles being outside the height limit.
Mm.
It was John Hunter Nemechek's crew chief.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you remember what the penalty was?
Yeah, it was just I think the car was either too low or too high. It was outside the height restrictions.
So the crew chiefs got suspended?
Yeah, for a race.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So good for John Hunter. He's been really competitive this year.
Right. And the other one, I believe, was Ryan Preece.
Mm, gotcha.
So he's also been kind of competitive this year, too.
Yes, yeah.
Somebody, talking about John Hunter Nemechek, somebody posted on Twitter, you remember the old Bell South car that his dad drove?
Yeah.
Somebody posted that with his number on it with DC Solar as a sponsor, saying, hey, try to do this as a throwback for Darlington. It looks pretty sweet.
Really?
Yeah.
Speaking of throwbacks... did you see
Bubba's?
Kyle?
Who? I thought you were going to say Bubba's, but yeah, Kyle Busch's.
Kyle Busch, yeah.
I loved about their little display that they had to reveal it?
The commercial or whatever.
Ernie Irvin.
Yeah. So for fans that haven't seen it, we posted it on our Facebook page. Go check it out. But Kyle Busch is throwing homage to the 1998 Ernie Irvin Skittles car. Pretty cool.
Definitely remember that car, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good times. And Bubba, he has a throwback to the first STP car that Petty had.
Got the Petty Blue.
It actually is a sweet looking ride,
it
man.
It does, man. I love the throwback race. That's so
do I. So
awesome.
So do I. I love Darlington, man. It's a narrow track, big.
Yeah.
Fast.
Yeah. I just hope it's competitive.
I think it will be. But definitely the aura that surrounds that race is fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of which, I kind of had a throwback in the booth this week. Did you see they were all wearing racing t-shirts?
Yeah, I loved it. So there's a lot of feedback on Twitter about that as well.
I know. People are either loving it or
they hate it.
Hating it.
They say, it should be, professional, wear a suit and tie. And Junior kind of made a joke about it. I spent so much scratch on new suits and stuff. I want to wear them more than just once.
Yeah. Which I think it's cool to do it every once in a while. Maybe not every single race.
I love it. I love it. And you know what? So much of the uppers at NASCAR has lost touch with the actual fan.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk, at least that's my opinion, we talk about that every week, week in, week out. Your Brian Frances, your Steve O'Donnells. This makes us almost have they're almost making up for that difference. It makes us feel like we can kind of correlate with the newscasters,
mm-hmm.
guys. The
mm-hmm.
The announcers. So I love the personal touch. I love the down to earth feel. I really feel like Dale Jr. has just came in and just made so many changes. He's such a likable guy. He is, regardless what you say about his racing talent, let's face it, he did have a great career before he had some hurt, you know, issues and getting in a wreck at Sonoma, that fiery crash, wherever. But in his younger days, he was actually very, very competitive in the DEI car. But regardless, let's digress a little bit here. Personality-wise, historian-wise, he's a great ambassador for the sport, and he's really changing that booth to make it more personable.
He makes it really, he's really vivacious, brings a whole element.
He's like, he's like, reminds me of a kid doing it.
Yeah. Just the excitement he brings. One other thing that I've got I wanted to bring up. Did you hear Parker Kligerman said that Roush Fenway has shifted into, officially shifted into using the number 6 car as its test bed. Basically, is its prototype for, you know, new technologies and things that that team is trying to become more competitive. I don't know if you've heard
that. I have not heard that, but I guess in a way it kind of makes sense. I mean, if you have a veteran like Kenseth and...
Yeah, Stenhouse obviously didn't have a great showing this weekend. Seems to be a recurring theme. But Kenseth, he qualified 31st and finished 15th. So I feel like that's
yeah, he finished, I think, like 13th last week.
Yeah. So it's good to know that Roush is trying new stuff. I'm sure all the teams are trying new stuff. But, you know, to come out and say, you know, hey, we're officially trying this or we're officially doing this and trying different things with the car, it's got to be hopeful for not only Roush fans, but for Kenseth fans, too.
Yeah, exactly. Kenseth, I don't want to say he's impressed me, but he has, in a way. And I kind of feel for him. You know, when I was younger, I didn't really like Kenseth that much. But when the drivers start getting older, you kind of get more respect for him. It's kind of like Jeff Gordon. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times I bust your balls about Jeff Gordon?
I can't count that high.
Exactly. But towards the end of his career, I kind of respected him. You know,
kinda.
And I did. I respected the guy. Okay. Yeah, I actually enjoyed him. I mean, he's good for the sport. And Kyle Busch, I kind of feel that's probably what's going to happen as well.
Yeah,
it's just not at that point yet.
Changing of the tides, yeah.
And every time he makes a step forward, he takes 2 steps back.
Yeah, that he does. And not to go back to your favorite person in NASCAR, but did you see Brian France's comment on basically the allegations that NASCAR was up for sale or potentially for sale?
I did. I can't remember his wording for it, but I did read it. I read the whole article. I just can't remember every detail he said. I just know I read it a lot, and I was kind of not pissed off, but kind of like annoyed by what he was saying.
Yeah. Just basically said that we're locked and loaded on NASCAR's efforts. It's not going anywhere. It's not for sale. Just basically shut everything down. And then
it's like he almost deflected every question they asked him. Mm-hmm. And that's typical Brian France fashion.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see. That's a story. We'll see if it unfolds.
Yeah. Your girl's making headlines this past week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Danica. She hosted the ESPYs, and people blasted her.
Well, did you see it?
I didn't. I don't watch the ESPYs.
I don't either, but I saw the clip, and it was, you could hear crickets.
That's not good.
Yeah. So, you know.
So, talking about Danica, this leads me to a topic that's been discussed on Twitter a lot this week. And I know I keep referencing Twitter. It's just, it's a source of information for us. But there's a lot of, I don't know how the conversation got started, and I'm coming in on the backside. So, folks, I apologize not having all the details. However, someone was making the comment about women in NASCAR, guys only follow women in NASCAR if they're hot or not hot, nothing to do with their driving abilities. And basically, men are pigs.
Mm-hmm.
And this blew up into a huge conversation, arguments. You know, there's a lot of people talking about Natalie. We've talked about Natalie Decker.
Mm-hmm.
Is she good looking? Yeah, sure. But we talked about the talent, that looks like she could bring. So I think it was quick for that person to jump saying, basically, guys are pigs. Guys in NASCAR are pigs. Maybe. I mean, I'm sure some of us are. And unfortunately, that was our upbringing. And I think that the younger generation obviously is more progressive going forward, but still there always is going to be some aspect of that. Just like there's going to be a woman who like Kasey Kahne because he's a pretty guy.
Well, that's not only applicable to NASCAR, but I mean, any company, you know, they sell stuff by putting it on or associating it with popular people or good looking people.
Let's talk about that, Logs. Good looking people. Okay, let's. I literally.
We're talking about me?
Yeah, I'm kidding, in a way. I'm kidding. So if me and you are both going up for a ride, you would get it over me because I'm fat and ugly.
And I'm just ugly.
Well, that's debatable. But what I'm getting to is that someone with my physique does not meet the marketing potential for a sponsor. And I'm just going to go out there and say this. Well, Jimmy Spencer today, if he was to try to get a cup ride today, it wouldn't happen.
I'm going to challenge you on that because there's one other thing that challenges that notion.
Keselowski?
If you've got deep pockets.
Well, yeah, if you can buy your way in, essentially, yeah. Or you have a guaranteed sponsor and like your parents. Like
Spencer Gallagher or Joey Logano.
Yeah. So, I mean,
just a few.
Yeah, there are, you know, exceptions to the rule, but let's face it. Look through the series all the way down the arc.
Or Michael Annette.
Sorry, right, for example, Chase Purdy, young guy, right? But he's not a bad-looking kid. He is a good – what I mean by that is that he presents and represents himself well, and that ties to the sponsor. So, of course, there is a key where talent and looks is associated. And a female driver fits that mold that people do look into that. If you want to be – admit to being shallow or not, that's exactly what happens, though, is that these sponsors help choose these drivers based on looks.
Yeah. It's not just talent, let's be honest.
It's not. You could be a mediocre driver and get more opportunities if you look good. And that's men and women both.
Mm-hmm.
So, your people out there who love Casey Kane, hey, you know, good, I'm glad. He's shown, you know, flashes of greatness, but... maybe he's got a little extra.
He is the last winner for Hendrick Motorsports. So
true, sad but true. So anyway, just think about that, folks. Is that you're talking to a guy right now or listening to a guy right now that would never have a chance at a ride because of my look. Same thing goes across every industry out there that has a visual presence to fans. Musicians, singers, American Idol's gone through this blast. Oh, yeah. How many times?
Mm-hmm.
So the same type of thing where. You're getting put out as a product in front of some people. That was an American Idol. You get it put out in front of some people, you have to have the looks. That's just the way marketing is. I think there is a potential change going forward. You know, our different industries are starting to use, you know, plus size models or models like your amputees, etc. So I think there is a direction positively. As of right now in NASCAR, that's not the case. Maybe. I don't think it's a chauvinist sport. I think there's a lot more female viewers of NASCAR than other sports.
It is a, just like every other sport or industry out there, it has its plagues. They're going to look at looks.
If you like it or not, it's going to happen. Talking about that, we've mentioned on the show before, Haley Deegan, Nallie Decker, Karsten Ellage, Tony Breidinger, Lexi Gay. I mean, there's several females that have potential to really do something great in this sport. And it's not because of their looks. They might get different sponsor opportunities, but they're also talented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we want to make sure we lay that out there.
We'll shift gears here a little bit. So speaking of Casey Kane, and I just mentioned it, but, you know, he's the last winner for Hendrick Motorsports. Hendrick Motorsports is officially in a one-year drought. How about that?
You're crazy.
How about that?
Cash me outside. How about that? Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
I mean, I thought, I don't know. I guess I just didn't expect that to happen. But
no, I absolutely not.
But yeah, I don't know.
So, I mean, you kind of suspected half the team, but not with Chase and Jimmy.
Yeah, but even Bowman, I think he had some pretty brilliant flashes last year, flashes of brilliance, whatever you want to call it.
And he still has this year, too. He's had a couple of bad luck, but he's not done bad.
Yeah, so... I don't know. We'll see how long they remain winless. Got what, 16 races now left, Gasman? Six races to the cutoff.
Yeah, and then
the final 10. So how many of that 16, you love me, I love to speculate, how many of the last 16 did the big three take?
10.
Really? I was going to say at least half, so I'm right there with you.
That leaves six races for other people. So maybe Chase, maybe Jimmy.
So... do we get any new winners in these last six before the chase?
As in new winners this year or first-time winners ever?
New winners this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you can't expect Jones to go out and win every race.
No, and but Boyer. You can absolutely count on Harvick, Truex, and Busch to go out and win two more races apiece.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But what I'm saying is we're talking about six races is at least in my eyes, six races not being won by the big three. And I don't see those six races being filled by Eric Jones or Clint Boyer. Clint Boyer might take one, maybe two, but that leaves, again, another four races. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, I'm on the other fence. I see them taking all of the final six, honestly. But, I mean, at the same point, I mean, people are probably going to be getting more desperate and more willing to gamble, you know, play the strategy game. So we'll see what happens. But 16 races, man, I'm just giddy, man. This is the time of the year where it starts getting
crunch
cooler.
Time.
It starts getting cooler outside. That fall time, you know, the chase is coming.
I wish it was fall time. It's pretty damn hot outside.
I like summertime, but
not us working folk.
Yo, shut up. You work in air conditioning.
So? Not on my farm.
You ain't got no farm.
I got woods. I farm trees and leaves.
So you going to change your pick for the homestead, the championship?
No.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Oh, absolutely not. So let's go on and talk about Pocono. Who's our picks for Pocono?
Well, I'm going to pick first because I wasn't here last week.
Fine, I'll give you that opportunity.
Truex, he's my main. And
here's your dark horse, Harvick.
Yeah, actually. My dark horse is Menard.
Okay, that's a reasonable dark horse. It's a good track for Menard.
He's in the Wood Brothers car, which Blaney won with there at Pocono last year. So I think it's feasible.
Yeah, absolutely. So my winner is Kevin Harvick. I'm riding the hot hand. You know, I'm hoping for two victories in a row. We'll go with Harvick. And my dark horse is Kurt Busch. Kurt actually
which is not really.
More dark horse than yours was.
Blaney?
Yes.
No.
Blaney's won since Busch has won.
One race. His only
win. It doesn't
win.
Matter. Kurt
oh my
has
gosh,
been,
dude.
Kurt has been semi-competitive.
We don't agree on anything.
We don't. That's why people love this show. Because you're wrong, and I'm right all the time.
That's wrong. Let me ask you this. So Harvick got his sixth win. Busch has got five. Truex has got four, correct?
Yes.
And do you see them getting the double digits?
Only one of them has a chance.
Harvick.
That's the only one I think has a chance getting a double digits.
Until,
and if he does, it'll
Kyle
be.
Kyle wins this week and gets to six.
No,
week's going to be like, oh, no, Kyle's
no,
got
no,
a chance.
I don't think so. Because I think Harvick's even pushing it. So I think Harvick might get to 10, but that'd
Which,
be.
This is the most wins he's ever had in a season.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
So.
I think that if he's probably going to have nine when he finishes. Just so. Seeing the progression that they're having right now is that they're not slowing
so
down.
He's going to win two more times this year and win Homestead is what you're saying.
Yeah, essentially, yes.
Okay.
You seem like you're skeptical on that.
No, I think he'll win more than that. I think he'll hit double digits. Maybe it'll be just 10, but I think he's going to hit double digits.
Oh, it'd be interesting. I'm excited for the rest of the season.
Right. So... All right,
so, actually, I have something else to talk about.
Oh, okay.
Talk about Twitter and sometimes the garbage spewed on Twitter. So, this week, I was, you know, just going through my typical NASCAR stuff looking, and there was conversation. Someone started the conversation, what's the five tracks you'd like to see lose a date? And it's just a reference to all the tracks altogether. So, not everyone in their top five would have two dates. So it could be tracks maybe with two, but it could also be tracks that they only have one that they don't want to see on the schedule anymore.
Okay.
I was shocked. I was floored. When I ask you, Lugs, give me, let's say, the top five races of the year.
Top five races?
Yes.
Like top five racetracks or finishes?
Let's just say you're a NASCAR driver. Okay, and you want to win five races. What's the five races?
The Crown Jewels.
Okay, so tell me the Crown Jewels.
Daytona.
Okay.
Darlington.
Okay.
Brickyard.
Okay.
The All-Star Race.
Okay.
Coke 600.
Sure, okay. I respect every one of those you just said. The Brickyard is one I have a problem with, and not with you, with all these other people on Twitter.
Oh, they're saying they should lose it?
Yeah, they're saying everybody, I don't want to say everybody, but there's a vast majority of people who are responding to this question. That had Indy listed. I was shocked. I was floored.
Well, you did say last week that you didn't think Indy was going to be very exciting.
A lot of times Indy's not exciting, but still to me a crown jewel race.
Yeah, that's true. But look at last year. That was crazy. And this, you know, they're basically Truex and Kyle Busch crashed racing for the win or for the lead. And there was a whole lot of other crashes that went on. I mean, heck, was it Keselowski and Johnson and someone else was going three wide for the win with like a few laps to go and Johnson was blowing up and spun out in his own oil and crashed. And last year was a really awesome Brickyard to watch. And I think I think it's going to be that again this year, with it being the penultimate race to the chase.
I hope so. Other common tracks mentioned,
but it definitely deserves a spot.
Oh, yeah, to me, without question, it's there. So I don't understand the hatred for Indy. I mean, the history of it, it's like the Daytona 500. Sometimes you're boring one. Let's face it, sometimes you're boring ones.
Yeah.
But overall, it's pretty good. But it's the history of Daytona. It's the history of Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, no, that doesn't deserve one. What were the other tracks they were saying?
Common ones were Texas, Michigan, California, Chicago.
See, none of those.
Pocono was another very common one.
See, none of those scream it to me.
I'm okay with Chicago lost race or Texas. Some of the mile and a half. Let's just start, you know, Phoenix. Not so much Phoenix, but maybe Vegas. Just kind of reduce it a little bit.
Now Vegas has got two, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, to me, reduce the one and a half a little bit, add more short tracks. So I could agree with on some of that. But just to me, the whole Indy thing just really floored me. If you had to choose one right now, Lugs, to get rid of.
That's what I'm thinking of. That's what I'm trying to think of. Who would I remove? What would I remove?
If I had to choose one right now,
I tell you, Richmond's kind of turned into a snooze fest lately. They don't. No. Why do they need two races? Do they need two
short tracks, man?
But it's not been great racing. Honestly, you know what I would take away right now? I'll sign off. Where do you want me to sign? Kentucky. Get rid of it.
I'm good with that. I am good with that. Even though that's kind of our home track, you know.
I'd much rather see it to go to Iowa.
Yeah, exactly. Even Gateway or something. I just.
A street course?
but
yeah, Kentucky, get rid of it.
I am 100% back.
We've not had one close finish there in, what, 7 years we've been there?
Yeah.
Done. Get rid of
it. I understand the logistically, like, why they chose that track, because of, you know, bringing fans from this area in. But you do have Indy. You do have Bristol.
But yeah, exactly. We got Indy. We got Bristol. But Charlotte's
but if
seven
you do,
hours away.
Yeah, if you do something like in Iowa, you're hitting a whole fan base that doesn't really have a huge sporting event close by. I mean, you'd have to go to Chicago to see a football or basketball, baseball.
I mean, if we really wanted to go, we've got Chicago, we've got Kansas, outside of Bristol and Indy, of course.
Yeah.
We could trek to Eldora. I mean,
I would love to go to Eldora. We need to make that trek maybe next year.
Yeah. But, yeah, Kentucky, man, I just don't.
I'm good with that. I back you on that one, Lux.
Good.
President of NASCAR.
Actually,
Lux.
Oh my God, I'm gonna write this down.
We actually agree on something.
Agreed with me on this date.
Yeah, and Kentucky was another very common one. And if you look, Jeff Gluck has a list of, like, he asks every week a question:
Was this a good race?
Mm-hmm. Kentucky's like the bottom feeder every time.
What'd they say about New Hampshire?
Oh, it's like 87% yes. It's good.
Good.
It was. That's what NASCAR breeds off of, is those kind of finishes.
Yeah. Yeah, but had it not had that finish, I wonder what the poll would have been.
I would say more like 60% yes. Because even at times, I mean, for example, Elliott was racing Truex really hard for that stage win.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of stuff that I like to see. And I think everybody else likes to see that as well. So maybe that is one aspect the stage races are bringing for us now.
Yeah, and, you know, not to dwell on this too much, but I like Pocono, but do we need to go there twice a year?
No, especially not this close together.
Same thing with Michigan.
No.
I like Michigan too, but sometimes it can be a snooze fest.
Yeah, I agree. I those tracks are twice a year that are like that. Let's try something new.
Yeah, try something new. And even, you know, there's some tracks that I absolutely love seeing get two races a year, Bristol being one, Daytona, Talladega, Martinsville. There are some tracks that do not need to be visited twice a year.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm debatable if Homestead should be visited at least once a year.
Really?
I'm joking. I'm not a huge Homestead fan, but I don't think we should get rid of it. I don't like it as a finale.
Why?
It hasn't produced good racing until until the last couple of years. Before that, it wasn't really that great racing.
Well, they reconstructed it.
Yeah, exactly. So it might be, my opinion might change a couple of years down the road, but as of right now and what I've seen of it,
mm-hmm.
2 years of good racing does not make up for, you know, 10 years of bad racing.
No, right. But, yeah, it was not a fun track to watch when it first opened. That's, what was it, 99, I think?
Yeah.
You got anything else?
No, I had a couple soapboxes to get on that with the women racers and with the tracks being taken, like which one you would choose. To me, it just made no sense.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's always a point to argue there, though.
Well, Lugs, you know, thanks for all your commentary on that.
Anytime.
I said I agree with you on the whole Kentucky thing. So, fans, thank you for listening as always. We love you guys. Please reach out to us, talk to us, make fun of us, whatever. Just let us know you're listening.
Let us know if you're listening from somewhere outside of the U.S. We like to hear.
Oh, absolutely. Our buddy fans. Dan Cameron. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So drop us an email. We'll give you a drop on the next podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Have a good night. We'll talk to you next week.
And the checkered flag waves on this episode. Tune in next week to keep updated on all things NASCAR. Please like us on iTunes and follow us on Podbean. We'd like to hear from you, so reach out to us too at wreckingandracing@gmail.com. Thanks again, and see you soon.